May it please the court, my name is Sean C. Thompson, registration number 40067, here on behalf of the defendant appellant, Mr. John Lucero, who is present today. I intend to focus today on the first argument raised in the briefs regarding the erroneous possession instruction. However, I'm happy to answer questions about the other issues raised in the briefs as well. It's undisputed here that the court used the wrong definitional pattern instruction for the term possession as it's used in possession of a weapon by previous offender cases. The definition of possession in a POWPO offense is, quote, actual or physical control of a weapon, and that comes from the Colorado Model Jury Instruction 34.11.5 and the Supreme Court cases People v. Garcia and People v. Martinez. The definition of possession given to the jury in this case, however, was, quote, actual possession or control, or the immediate and knowing dominion or control of a weapon. That definition is identical to the definition of possession used in controlled substances cases. The people, as far as I understand, do not contest that the wrong instruction was used. Instead, they argue it was not erroneous to give this wrong instruction because the two definitions contained in those instructions meant the same thing. Specifically, they argue that immediate and knowing dominion or control means the same thing as actual or physical control. The pattern instructions and the courts use different language to define possession in POWPO cases than they do in drug offenses because the meaning of possession is different in each circumstance. The people's argument to the contrary is essentially an argument that distinctions in language have no meaning and it should not be adopted. Immediate knowing dominion or control must mean something above and beyond actual or physical control. In the definition, the two terms are connected by a disjunctive or, implying that they denote different concepts. Moreover, the larger compound definition of possession used in this case, actual or physical control, or the immediate and knowing dominion or control, contains the proper definition of possession for POWPO cases, which is actual or physical control, and then goes on to add additional language. One would have to believe the term immediate and knowing dominion or control was meaningless surplus to conclude that the longer and shorter definitions were identical to each other.
Mr. Thompson,
yes.
I'm having a little trouble wondering or figuring out why all this matters. The officers arrived and the defendant had the gun in his hands.
That's true, Your Honor.
So, I mean, why are we quibbling over, dominion or control when it's undisputed he had it in his hands?
Because his defense was an affirmative defense, which is provided by the Supreme Court case Ford, where you have a constitutional right to possess a weapon for self-defense, defense of others, or defense of property.
By the time, I understand that, but by the time the officer showed up, what evidence was there in the record that this perceived threat existed?
Well, he didn't know, the door to his rental property where he was working to repair some damage to it was kicked off the hinges. That was documented in several photographic exhibits by the police. It was unclear whether or not the person who had kicked the door off the hinge or ripped the door off the hinge was still present in the house, or if not, where they were. By no means was, the apparent threat to Mr. Lucero concluded until the police actually arrived. So,
well, given that the evidence was that he had it in his hands, and his defense was, as you said, this kind of self-defense or defense of property or whatever, can't we judge by the verdict that the jury rejected that defense?
No, because they got the wrong instruction on possession. The problem is that...
Well, if they had thought he, at that time, when he's holding the gun, needed to have the gun in his possession to deal with a perceived threat to himself, then wouldn't he have been acquitted?
No, because the instruction would have allowed the jury to conclude that he possessed the weapon even though it was not in his actual or physical control. The based on the prosecution's closing argument, they argued that he possessed the weapon from the time that he discovered it was in his rental property through the weeks up to the date of March 8th, and all day during March 8th, when he wasn't even at the rental property, simply by virtue of it being at a home that he owned. So the jury could have completely, it would have completely obviated the need to consider the constitutional defense because he would have, quote, possessed it by virtue of it being within his immediate and knowing dominion, when he didn't, when prior to there being a break-in, prior to him knowing about a break-in, and he wouldn't have a constitutional defense for that mode of possession.
I'm still confused. He got the weapon. He knew it was there. We know that, right?
Yes.
He knew it was there. He knew where to obtain it. He did obtain it. He grabbed it. He used it. How can it not have been within his dominion or control when it's in his house, he knows it's there, and he actually grabs it to use it?
That's my point, Your Honor. It might have been a court. We don't know what immediate dominion or control means in terms of legal term. It's just used by the dictionary definition how the jury wants to construe it. But that is not a mode of possession, which is possession under the proper definition of in a Paupo case. So the jury might have thought that constituted possession, but the court cases in the jury instruction, approved jury instruction, say that's not possession. Only actual or physical control is. So the problem is that the only time he took actual or physical control of the weapon on March 8th was when he had this constitutional defense available to him. But prior to taking actual or physical control of the weapon, the jury still might have construed that he possessed it by virtue of it being within his immediate dominion and control, but he wouldn't have had the constitutional defense available for that species of possession. Does that make sense?
Let me deal more with the exact terminology and your position on that. The approved Paupo instruction addresses actual control.
Actual or physical control.
Okay, yes. Let's leave the or physical out for a minute.
Okay.
What's the difference between, on the facts presented, what's the difference between actual control and dominion, since the weapon was in his house during a time when he had exclusive access to the house?
I understand actual or physical control to be having it on your person or within your grasp.
Is there any case or dictionary definition that says actual control requires that it be in your hand or in your pocket?
Some of the drug cases where they actually do contrast the terms immediate dominion and control and actual or physical control do provide some guidance on that. Specifically, there's Durand v. People, which is a Supreme Court case. I can cite that for you. It's 360 P. Second 132. That's in my opening brief. The defendant possessed a quantity of narcotic on his person, which was in his actual or physical control, and also there were two marijuana cigarettes in his companion's purse, which the court held were within his reach and thus in his dominion and control. Similarly, Moore v. People, which is 467 P. Second 50, also a Supreme Court case. The defendant had marijuana cigarettes in his shared jail cell. The court held that the jail cell constituted his dominion and was within his possession. So you can sort of see there the division of actual physical control, having it on your person, versus having it in a place which you have control over, even though you're not actually physically controlling the object at the time.
Refer us to this principle of statutory construction that you have to use or read or in this disjunctive. We have actual or physical control. So doesn't actual control have to mean something different than physical control? That is, having it in your physical possession, that's physical control.
Mm-hmm.
Under the principle of statutory construction you just recited to us, actual control means it's not within your physical possession. It's got to mean something different, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not sure what exactly it means, and that's for the jury to determine. But what's clear is that the second or, which and after which follows immediate knowing dominion or control, is not part of the definition that we're supposed to get. And, you know, for a Paupo case, or it is supposed to get for a Paupo case. So there must be some difference between actual or physical control, which is the proper definition in Paupo, and immediate knowing and dominion. What the difference between actual and or physical control within the first part of the definition, I'm not clear on. I wouldn't presume to tell the jury what that means.
It seems to me if you're going to identify a problem, you have to come up with a solution for us. And the solution here would be to tell us, what does actual mean? And it seems to me you don't want to tell us what actual means.
Well, I think it's somewhat similar to physical control. Perhaps it's in the car you're driving in. Perhaps it's...
But not the house you're living in.
Well, he wasn't physically at the home at the time during the day. He simply wasn't there. It wasn't within his grasp, as, you know, what they talked about in Duran. It wasn't nearby at all. But the point is, my main contention is that this is the wrong definition to go to the jury, and whatever the jury made of it, we can't be sure. Dominion, by the dictionary definition, is something that's subject to sovereignty or control, which, the way I read that, is something that is subject to control, is not within your control yet, or is not currently, presently being controlled. So I think that there's a difference, but whatever the difference between actual and physical control is, that's certainly a different tier of control or possession than having something which isn't in your control at all, but is subject to your control if you reach out and grasp it.
So where's the line? If it's 5 feet from him, it's within his control. If it's 10 feet, it's not.
I think that's within the jury's province. But the problem here is that they weren't supposed to receive that definition. That's not the proper definition of possession in a Palpo case. So they shouldn't even have had to consider that question, but they did, and it's shown that they did based on their question they sent out to the judge during their deliberations. They asked, Would Mr. Lucero not being in the house all day make it so he was not possessing the gun at those times? Well, he didn't have actual or physical control. I think that that's obvious because he wasn't in the house at the time.
Doesn't that beg the question, though, of what actual control means?
Certainly.
Okay.
But that's a question that the jury should be able to determine based on the correct instructions it received from the court, which is not what happened in this case.
Back to the point. You said, just before Judge Jones asked you the last question, dominion or control has to mean something different than actual control. Why does it have to mean something different if we go to a dictionary and they mean more or less the same thing? What's your basis for saying they have to mean something different?
Because the definitions are different. What dominion means something that is subject to sovereignty or control or something of that nature. It's within your sort of realm of control, but it's not actual or physical control. It's just subject to control.
Let's leave the physical out.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I'm still not tracking you on what the difference is between actual control and dominion.
Actual control, as far as I understand it, means it's on your person or it is with... You're actually presently grasping it and using it, utilizing it at that moment. Well, we're dealing with definitions that need to be construed by the jury based on the facts, but the problem is they got the wrong definition, which is my contention. I really would like to save the rest of my time for rebuttal if it's okay.
That's recorded.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Rebecca Adams-Jones, registration number 31044, and I represent the people of the state of Colorado. I would like to begin by addressing the possession instruction in this case. First of all, I'd like to point out that this is to be reviewed under plain error standard of review. There was no objection to this instruction in the trial court. As a result, the defendant has the burden of establishing the challenged instruction affected a substantial right, and the record reveals a reasonable possibility that the error contributed to his conviction. Now, a trial court has substantial discretion to formulate instructions as long as they are correct statements of the law. In this case, both instructions properly defined possession, are proper statements of the law, and encompass elements of control over an object. There's no appreciable difference between the two instructions in this case. In fact, I would go so far as to say that any difference between the two instructions actually inured to the defendant's benefit because the given instruction uses the word immediate. And control does not require an immediate physical relationship to the object, but instead involves an individual's power to affect the object or its use. So the use of the word immediate in the given instruction actually supported the defendant's argument that he did not possess the weapon until he picked up the weapon following his view of the door off the hinges and the evidence of the burglary. And again, I take issue with the defendant's argument that actual or physical control means that the person possessed the weapon on his person or in hand, or even that it was necessarily nearby. In fact, the case Garcia, which is cited by the defendant, specifically talks about multiple factors that the jury can consider when determining whether or not something is in a defendant's possession. And those factors include the proximity of the defendant to the firearm, the ordinary place and storage of the firearm, the defendant's awareness of the firearm, locks or physical impediments which preclude ready access to the firearm. If the firearm had to be in the defendant's hand, we wouldn't have to look at these other factors to determine whether or not the defendant possessed the item. So with that all in mind, I think there was no error with the instruction that was given in this case, let alone plain error. If the court has no further questions, I would rest on the briefs with respect to the remaining issues and ask that this court affirm the defendant's convictions. Thank you.
I think the most important thing to recognize here is that there is an instruction for the definition of possession in a POWPO offense, and it is different than the one that was given in this case, which was the one which is identical to the one that is applicable to controlled substances cases. It's not a statute; it's the model jury instructions. But the idea that the additional language added in the second part or the second instruction, the one that was given to the jury in this case, meant nothing, just simply doesn't comport to how language is read in a court of law. I think this is shown by the fact that the jury actually was very confused over what possession actually meant. They asked whether or not he could possess something even though he wasn't physically present where it was located. I think that the jury is construing is using that language to expand the definition or the sort of reach of what possession can mean, and that's not how it is in the actual definition. So I think
it goes a little further, because after the question was asked, didn't the trial court say as long as you can find him guilty as long as he did possess it any time on March 8th?
That's correct.
So theoretically they could have been finding him guilty for any part of the time the police were not there.
And that's exactly what the problem is. The problem is that the expansion of the definition of possession allowed the jury to determine he possessed the weapon absent the constitutional defense, which he certainly did have when he actually physically controlled the weapon and took possession of it on the late evening of March 8th.
Your position is, as a matter of law, if they did do that, we don't know. That's wrong.
It certainly is wrong. They needed to consider the constitutional defense if they determined that he possessed it for the purpose of self-defense. And they wouldn't even need to reach that question if they could determine that he possessed the weapon when he wasn't even at the home prior to learning of what appeared to be a burglary at his house. So if the court has no further questions, we would ask it to reverse Mr. Lucero's conviction of possession of a weapon by a previous offender. Thank you.
Appreciate the arguments of both counsel. The case stands submitted. We will issue a written opinion in due course.